Good day, good night, and welcome to Off the Woodworks Post Game Show. I'm Kevin Laramie, live from the Big O, or the Olympic Stadium if you prefer. The Montreal Impact won their first game in Major League Soccer in 2020 by the score of 2-1 versus the New England Revolution. And yes, of course, Teal Bunbury scored for the New England Revolution as the opening goal today. The Impact killer, Teal Bunbury. Of course, his father, famously Alex Bunbury, lived in Montreal, grew up here, and it's almost a homecoming every time Teal comes back to Montreal. And once again, Teal Bunbury, the oldest of the Bunbury boys, scored a goal again to open the scoring in this opening match of the 2020 regular season for the Montreal Impact. 13 minutes in, and the entire Olympic Stadium went silent when Teal Bunbury scored the opening goal. And I knew, I was like, yep, of course, Teal Bunbury is going to score tonight. Of course, it is very fitting for the New England Revolution to score a goal, and especially by Teal Bunbury against Montreal. It is, yeah, it's always a fact. Usually Montreal concedes on set pieces, and when it's against New England, Teal Bunbury scores. But at least it wasn't the only goal today. Just a few minutes later, about 23 minutes later, to be precise, Romel Chiodo scored his first goal in Major League Soccer for the Montreal Impact, his third all-competition, actually second, sorry, all competitions combined so far with the Montreal Impact, having scored in Saprissa, Costa Rica, and San Jose 2 weeks and a half ago. So Romel Chiodo opened his account in Major League Soccer for the Montreal Impact today at the Olympic Stadium, Montreal's opening match of the 25th regular season in Major League Soccer, the 8th for Montreal in MLS. Of course, there was 21,006 people at the Olympic Stadium tonight. You're going to tell me it's not a lot. It's a sellout crowd at the Stade Saputo, and so that's how I look at it. But 21,000 on a Saturday afternoon indoors at the Olympic Stadium is kind of a letdown. But we're not here to talk about the attendance. We're here to talk about the game. And then it was 1-1, and Montreal got a bit lucky because in the second half, you saw, yeah, New England actually scored a goal. But, yeah, VAR, it was called back for offside. Malcien, who was just subbed in for Teal Bunbury, thought he scored, thought he had the go-ahead goal for New England. And on the play, he actually hit Diop too. So Diop was down for a couple minutes. And we thought it was all over. We thought Montreal was trailing in the second half. There's no way they're going to come back, but no goal. The video assistant referee with his assistant, so the assistant video assistant referee with the video assistant referee that are somewhere here. I've tried to find out where they are in the Olympic Stadium. I've looked. I imagine they're somewhere in the level 300. It doesn't matter where, but I'm a curious guy by nature, and I was looking for the VAR booth earlier, but I guess I haven't found it. Maybe it's as simple as they're taking the one from Stade Saputo, which is a movable one. It's an outdoors one, so maybe they're using that one and just bringing it closer to the Olympic Stadium. But we did have VAR used for the first time in the Olympic Stadium history. And it was right here, as you can tell, on the other side of the pitch over here. This is where the VAR booth was, and we saw referee Chris Benso run to the screen and then called the goal off for offside. Malcien was offside. So Montreal got a lifeline there, and it gave some energy back to the Impact. Like you'll hear Thierry Henry mention later on in his press conference, it gave a second win to the Montreal Impact. And then Maxi Urruti, still mad that his goal in Costa Rica 2 weeks ago was called off, scored a cheeky one tonight. A little chip over Turner, the goalkeeper of the New England Revolution, and it was 2-1, and that was the last goal tonight. And the Montreal Impact start their 2020 campaign with a victory at home. Of course, next week the game's in Dallas. The Montreal Impact will face FC Dallas on the 7th, and on the 10th, just 3 days after that, on Tuesday, March 10th, Montreal is back right here at the Olympic Stadium to play versus CD Olympia in the quarterfinals of the CONCACAF Champions League. And if that name is familiar to you, the Montreal Impact actually played against CD Olympia back in 2008 in the group stage of the CONCACAF Champions League. That tournament that saw Montreal play right here also in the quarterfinals of that tournament versus Santos Laguna and the second leg in Torreon. And I know your heart just skipped a beat, and that PTSD came back from 2009. That's what happens when you mention the name Torreón. But it's irrelevant. The Montreal Impact actually won against New England tonight. So Urruti scored that goal at the 80th minute, assisted by Saphir Teitur. It was a very well-played goal. And the first goal by Montreal also was the first point for a former Canadian Premier League team player in Major League Soccer. Joel Waterman scored, actually assisted on Romel Quiroz's score. I asked Joel Waterman after the game, it kind of looked like a training pitch type of scenario. And it was, he mentioned, and he didn't have the same opportunity earlier on in the game, but his header off the corner to his head and then went outside the pitch. The second time around, he headed that ball, went to the far post to Romel Quiroz, and Romel Quiroz finished that play without a mistake. So that was another great performance by the former Canadian Premier League player Joel Waterman. Of course, he's going to see some playing time in the next few weeks. Montreal had two central defenders fall on injuries already versus Saprissa. Rudy Camacho a couple of weeks ago with a knee sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks, about 4 weeks left on that timetable. And Yuka Raitala last week fractured one bone in his leg and is out for 8 to 12 weeks. So we'll see, but Joel Waterman is going to get a lot of playing time for sure. He was responsible a bit. There was a couple of bad timing earlier in the game for Joel Waterman, but he's learning quickly. He's getting some confidence and slowly but surely starting to win more and more duels. This hasn't been easy, especially the aerial duels and the battles for Joel Waterman. But slowly but surely, every time he steps out onto the pitch, we're seeing progression. We're seeing one more, two more battles won, and the same in an actual game. There's a microcosm. This being his first start for Joel Waterman, we saw a little bit of the nerves here in the beginning, and he was really candid a couple of weeks ago talking about how he felt when he first played. And yeah, there was butterflies. He was a little shaky. He had that emotions come into play. Who wouldn't? It's, you're living your dream. You're playing in Major League Soccer. You're playing in CONCACAF Champions League. Thierry Henry is your manager. He's sending you out there. Yeah, the legs will be shaky a bit, a little jello, a little marshmallow on the legs, that's kind of normal. But every minute, every second that Joel Waterman spends on that pitch, he grows on confidence, and it's looking good for the young Canadian defender. Another defender that's been doing really well since playing for the Montreal Impact, that's Louis Binks. Of course, I famously picked him as my Rookie of the Year, Defender of the Year. I know, I might have been a bit bold, and I might be taking a lot into just a small sample size of data looking at Louis Binks' play. Thierry Henry even mentioned it in his post-game conference. He's like, I know you guys are really, really high on Louis Binks, but he's still 18 years old. He's still young. Give him a chance. It's not about a couple games. It's about a couple years. You need to see consistency and progress and constant growth. It needs to be in time and not just on a one-day aspect. So that's really important for Thierry Henry. He's not yet too excited with Louis Binks. He's seen a lot of players in his day that were touted as the next big thing, the next Nesta, the next best defender. And where are they now? So he was asking us to be a bit more, I would say, patient and maybe not get excited too quickly. But in Major League Soccer, it's really rare that we see a young defender, especially at this age, at 18. Joel Waterman is young in Major League Soccer standard, and he's 24. Louis Binks is 18 years old. What were you doing when you were 18? I know what I was doing. I was spending way too much time in parks late at night, which you shouldn't be doing, because nothing good happens in parks late at night. What were you doing when you were 18? Well, Louis Binks is taking names and putting him in his back pocket on that pitch right now when he's 18 years old. So yes, Thierry Henry did mention to us to not get too excited too quickly about the England defender product of the Tottenham Academy, but it's hard when you see the upside, when you see the talent, the poise that this player has on the ball. There's one aspect, one moment in this game that I think explains really well what he can do. He's under pressure. He's got the ball. He's close to the 18-yard box. And he's got the ball. He's got two New England players coming after him. So they're coming this way. He turns around, protects the ball, waits a second for the two players to overstep him, and then walks back and finds space. Turns around, has tons of space. And that poise, that maturity on the pitch is going to be very useful right now with the Montreal Impact, because if it wasn't for Louis Binks, who would be defending? If Montreal wouldn't have him because of the injuries, it would have been a dangerous situation for the Impact. And now Montreal already has 3 points in Major League Soccer. They're moving on to the quarterfinals. It's a better than anticipated week for the Montreal Impact. And I was saying a couple of weeks ago on the show that the first week is going to be crucial for the Montreal Impact, not only because of the CONCACAF Champions League and the expectations there and the journey to the tournament and how important this tournament is for this city, but I think it's also the confidence level. If you would have started losing two games against Saprissa, and then you come home to play against New England, and you lose 2-0 to a team coached by Bruce Arena, your confidence would have been in the toilet. But the thing is, now Montreal's undefeated so far in 2020. One win in the league, two draws in the CONCACAF Champions League, but you won a series, you've won something, and you're moving on. It is a positive beginning of the season for the Montreal Impact, and yes, it's not perfect at all. And I really liked Thierry Henry's little joke that he mentioned in the press conference that we're going to listen to in a minute. He mentioned it wasn't perfect because no one is perfect. There was only one perfect girl, and it was right here. It was Nadia Comaneci in 1976. And it's funny after. It's like, yeah, was it here too? Like, yeah, well, actually, it was at the Montreal Forum. It wasn't at the Olympic Stadium, if you want to be pedantic about it, because that's what I do. And if you like to hear more about the 1976 Olympics, I actually host a Montreal 1976 special podcast series on our Patreon page that you can find at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But that's not what we're here. We're here to talk about the Montreal Impact. Before we go to Thierry Henry, there's another thing I want to talk about, is Boyan. In the first half only, and I've stopped counting for the second half because my point is made. It's irrelevant. But seven times in the first half, Boyan was dispossessed of the ball while in possession, while in movement, because an opponent, another player, came in and was stronger and muscled the ball out of his possession. Seven times. Now, a couple times, if it happens in a game, it's okay. But losing possession seven times in one half when you're a player like Boyan, which means when you have the ball, it might be in the last third, so you're in the dangerous position to do something with the ball, and you lose possession. Seven times in the first half. Which leads me to thinking, and I don't have the answer of that solution, and I'm asking you, do you have the answer to this problem? How does Boyan create space for himself? To be able to hold on to the ball a bit longer, to not have always a defender on him that is stronger than him and that's dispossessing him of the ball. Now, there's a couple solutions that I was brainstorming. But if you have an attacker or a player playing as a false nine or whatever that strategy could be, a player playing as an attacker who doesn't have enough space around him and you're trying to give him service, you're trying to put him in a dangerous position. We didn't really see Boyan in dangerous position with the ball today. One, in the second half, and his shot was blocked, deflected, and was off target, unfortunately. But outside of that opportunity for Boyan, he needs space. He needs help, I think. He needs to have a partner up top with him. So Thierry Henry mentioned a 5-4-1, a 5-3-2, or a 3-5-2, depending on. That's why I don't want to talk about numbers. It doesn't matter. It's about the mentality. A backline, and I've been saying this for a few shows now, the number of the formation, it's irrelevant. It's in movement, it's in flux, it's in motion. When you have the ball, without the ball, it's more than just numbers on a sheet of paper. So saying it's a 5-4-1, it's a 5-3-2, it's a 5-2-3-1, it's a bingo, it doesn't matter. It's what you do, it's how you react. And for me, that's where maybe Boyan needs someone with him. The few opportunities where Urruti were closer to Boyan on top, or where Kyoto were closer to Boyan, you saw Boyan was able to find a little bit more space. But that's the issue right now. Boyan does not have space up top to receive the ball to be effective with it. It's not just about the service, and that's where I want to make sure I mention it. Yes, the service is not perfect recently for the Impact. The last pass that I'm calling from the midfield to either Boyan or Kyoto, or today it was Urruti or Lassi Lapalainen later in the game, that movement forward, that passing forward, that last pass is not easy. Montreal's pass accuracy is lacking a bit. And if you're just looking at today, Montreal's passing accuracy at 81.5, which is not bad, but at certain moment, it's not just about the overall percentage, it's when it happens. We saw a few times Samuel Piette trying to bring that pass forward, lacking a bit of accuracy, and we've seen him a couple times throughout the three games so far. And I think it's important after three games to just look at Boyan, and I'm not saying he doesn't need to be there. I want Boyan on the pitch. He's more dangerous on the pitch, and he'll get his chances. You need to surround him in a way to make him more effective. You need to find a way to make your best players being your best player on the pitch. And Boyan was not the best player on the pitch tonight. And maybe addressing that situation and putting a partner up top with him. Maybe not as a full-time solution, but to help him understand the rhythm, the pace, and the space that you have in Major League Soccer, having a partner with him up top, a Jackson Amell, which is a different type of player that will make different type of runs and maybe create some vacuum space for one of the players of the other team. So the more space Boyan can be able to finish his play. But on that note, let's listen to Thierry Henry's post-game comments, followed by Samuel Piette and Joel Waterman.
Bonjour.
Bonjour Thierry. Vous nous aviez prévenu que c'était souvent difficile pour les équipes MLS qui jouaient sur deux tableaux en début de saison. Ça n'a pas si mal été finalement. Quelle est votre appréciation de la performance de vos
gars? Je pense qu'on a fait une très bonne première mi-temps où on s'est mis en danger seul sur un corner. Manque d'envie de gagner la balle. On savait que c'était un problème depuis l'année dernière, qui a été rectifié en fin de saison. On a failli reprendre un but encore sur un coup de pied arrêté. Mis à part ça, je pensais qu'on avait la balle, on la passait, on jouait, ça allait sur les côtés. On arrivait à trouver Zach et Jorge sur les côtés. Ils n'arrivaient pas à savoir qui prendre, à quel moment. Il y avait des centres à répétition, des actions à répétition. Malheureusement, on n'a pas réussi à marquer un peu plus en première mi-temps. Je pense qu'on aurait pu plus marquer. Ça n'a pas été le cas. On prend le but, ça nous a un peu sonné, mais on a recommencé à jouer en passant par Saphir et Sam. Aujourd'hui, qu'on a essayé de jouer vers l'avant, donc ça nous a permis de nous installer dans le camp adverse et de les faire courir de gauche à droite et de trouver des joueurs libres sur le côté. Ce qui apporte quand tu joues dans une défense à 5, c'est libérer les joueurs comme vous avez vu aujourd'hui, comme Zach et Rodré pour aller jouer beaucoup plus haut et centrer, se retrouver dans des situations où ils étaient souvent dans la surface. Puis après, on marque sur corner, nous aussi. Il y avait eu une balle déjà avant sur Joel qui met une tête au-dessus. Là, cette fois, il la garde dans le jeu et remet Marc derrière. Après, on a eu une entrée un peu difficile en deuxième mi-temps. Je dirais 15 minutes où c'était pas trop ça. C'était un peu des deux côtés. Après, le but refusé nous a un peu redonné un peu du cœur. On arrive à marquer sur une action qu'on n'arrête pas de travailler à l'heure actuelle et Maxi finit super bien. Il a une action aussi avant que les gardiens sauvent, il a l'action aussi en première mi-temps. Je lui ai dit qu'il aurait pu mettre 3 buts. Il en a mis un et c'était celui de la victoire. Donc voilà, après encore une fois, un centre mal jugé que le joueur de New England, heureusement pour nous, ne finit pas. Et après on a terminé avec nos moyens, on a gardé le score.
Thierry, tu parlais justement tout à l'heure de Zachary. Il a été de presque tous les jeux, en tout cas une partie prenante d'une grande partie de l'animation offensive de ce match-là. Est-ce que c'est ce que tu t'attends de lui? Est-ce que c'est ce que tu le vois
apporter? Mais essayez de regarder le match. Avant de libérer le côté droit, il faut aller à gauche. Donc, pour faire ça, quand tu joues à 5, c'est beaucoup plus facile puisque ton arrière gauche est écarté de l'autre côté, donc à chaque fois qu'on allait d'un côté, on allait de l'autre côté pour libérer Zach, il était libre, donc c'est un travail d'équipe que Zach se retrouvait dans cette situation-là beaucoup plus que Rolleray. Rolleray se trouve aussi quelquefois dans ces situations-là, donc voilà, c'est quelque chose qu'on travaille, ça monte un peu en amont, on essaye de bien sûr de progresser là-dessus, mais voilà, c'est encore tout vrai, et Zach aujourd'hui a été plus en vue que de l'autre côté, mais avant d'aller de ce côté-là, il faut avoir attiré d'un côté.
Thierry, c'est la troisième fois que tu alignes 5 défenseurs. Qu'est-ce que ça t'apporte tactiquement d'avoir une défense à 5, mais à 3 d'ailleurs, comme ça dépend comment...
Merci. Donc, non, parce que ça me fait rire quand j'entends défense à 5. Quand on n'a pas la balle, oui, c'est une défense à 5. Quand on a la balle, c'est une défense à 3.
Tactiquement, qu'est-ce que ça t'apporte?
Je vais t'expliquer aux gens, parce que quand on entend 5, souvent les gens, on va défendre. On n'a pas, aujourd'hui, on a défendu, oui, dans les 10 dernières minutes, mais à part ça, on a attaqué. On a attaqué à maintes et maintes reprises, parce que si vous avez vu Zach, et Rolleray souvent centré. Donc ça veut dire qu'ils étaient bien hauts. On est d'accord, donc c'est une défense à 3 qu'on a la balle.
Défense à 3, et comment tu le vois?
Merci, non j'aime bien, parce que c'est quand même important.
C'est un processus, effectivement. Comment tu le vois, donc, qu'est-ce que t'apporte tactiquement d'avoir 3?
Ce qu'on a fait aujourd'hui, mais c'est super important que les milieux aussi s'expriment au milieu pour nous pouvoir faire vivre, pour qu'on puisse s'installer dans le camp adverse et pouvoir faire courir l'équipe d'un côté à l'autre. Et là, oui, avoir tes arrières qui te donnent la largeur, les latéraux, pour pouvoir les libérer beaucoup plus haut. Et puis surtout, si tu prends un contre, tu es un peu moins exposé au contre aussi, quand tu passes à 3 derrière. Donc voilà le pourquoi du comment.
Charles. Avec
question à deux volets. Est-ce que ça a été une décision difficile ça, aujourd'hui de faire appel à Clément comme il veut? Et quand vous le voyez jouer, qu'est-ce que vous trouvez qu'il apporte dans son comportement, dans son attitude sur,
Moi, j'écoute l'entraîneur des gardiens, l'entraîneur des gardiens qui nous dit exactement ce qui se passe, parce qu'ils ne sont pas toujours avec nous, des fois, les gardiens. Ils s'échauffent avant, et donc Clément a encore joué. Donc ce ne sera peut-être pas la même chose encore une fois, je répète, contre Dallas. Donc voilà, il a encore fait un arrêt important. La dernière fois, il a fait la même chose. Donc voilà, je ne suis pas là pour rentrer dans les guerres de pourquoi, du comment, qu'est-ce que vous voyez. Il a joué, il a bien joué.
Juste compléter ma deuxième question. Quand vous voyez jouer, ses qualités principales dans sa façon de se comporter dans son jeu de Philippe,
j'aime bien parler de l'équipe. Donc voilà, on a su tenir à la fin, il a dû faire les arrêts qu'il a dû faire à un moment donné, donc voilà.
Thierry, I know you're not going to get carried away after one win, but certainly it was a character building victory, I believe, after the team just played Wednesday. What did you say to the boys afterwards, and what did you think about the resolve that they showed?
I keep on saying since I've been here that we have to fight. That's the minimum that we have to do. I think what you saw since the beginning, and as you said, let's not get carried away, but since the beginning is what you saw is in Saprissa, we wanted to press high at the beginning of the game, and we did, and we scored. Against them here, it became a bit difficult. We needed to adapt to what they gave us, and we had to drop a bit too much at times. I thought that we could do better when we were coming out with the ball in terms of, instead of passing the ball back, passing it forward to make it a counter. So today I said to the guys that we need to play a tiny bit higher, pass the ball forward and be brave on the ball. Because people always talk about being brave off the ball. I often talk about being brave on the ball. And I think it was three different type of games, although we got lucky at the end, yes. But when you look at the game overall, especially with what I explained before, the amount of time that we found our fullbacks on the side and guys inside and the way Kyoto played and Maxi, I'm so happy for him that people keep on asking me, can he score? He did. He did. Hopefully it can be a long series for him of goals, but he did, and he worked so hard, like everybody else. But yeah, there were different games, and you know, I was saying that maybe today we might have the ball a bit more, because they might allow you to have the ball a bit more, unlike Saprissa, that kept the ball so well, and they were giving the ball back to you cheaply. So then we need to know what we're going to do when we have it, and we worked really hard in the last 2 days or day or so to know what we were about to do. We did it also in pre-season, trust me, but I keep on saying to you guys that sometimes you have to adapt to what the other team is giving you and adjust to what you have.
Yeah, you were saying in French how it was defending with three, and two of those three center backs are quite young.
Attacking with three.
Well, we're attacking with three. Well, two of your center backs
are well, okay, so right.
Pretty young. What are your impressions of those two young center backs?
I don't like to talk, and especially Louis. I know you guys are talking about him, and rightly so, but he's young. We need to be careful with young players, because I've seen guys in this league where people were talking a lot about them, and they disappeared after a year or so. So let's keep calm. But in terms of what they did as a unit, that was tremendous. A couple of times they were exposed to 1v1, and they dealt with it. And it's not easy to play against those guys. Trust me, Bunbury has been in this league for a long time. Boo is doing well. So it is not easy, but they dealt with it. They dealt with it as a unit.
Kelsey, you mentioned being aware of the team's struggles last year on set pieces. Was the indication from your staff during the offseason that the problem has been solved, or what did you see today maybe that...
Well, the problem is it looks always solved until it's not solved. We knew, you try to adapt to it, but I always say that set pieces, whether you do zonal or man marking or whatever, is a desire of wanting to head the ball and win it. We have to work on that again. We were kind of okay in the first two games. We conceded one also against Nashville in preseason. So that's something that we need to work. We need to work on a lot of stuff, in all fairness. But it's a process, trying to get there. New England also conceded a set piece. So, you know, it happens. We all know that's something that can unlock games. This is something that when you look at what you work on in training, the amount of minutes that you work on set pieces is a bit less than the amount of work that you do in the game. And when you look at the goals that you have in a season, most of them are on set pieces. a lot of them are on set pieces. So we're going to work. We nearly conceded one, and I didn't see, but I would like to think that it was offside. If VAR called it, and it was offside. But yeah, it's something that we're going to work. But like I said, this is not perfect yet. Far from it. And, you know, not a lot of team reaches that. Only person that I know that did that is Nadia Comaneci. I've got a 10. That's it. Other than that, nobody gets a 10. So that's how it is.
Deux dernières en français. Antoine Arcadien.
That was here also, no?
Yes.
Yeah, you see. What a coincidence.
C'est la première victoire de l'équipe officielle cette saison. Qu'est-ce qui vous fait le plus plaisir dans la victoire de l'équipe aujourd'hui, mis à part les points?
Encore une fois, comme j'aime parler de l'équipe et de l'attitude. Quand je vois Rome qui est au, Romain, parce que c'est, oui, c'est comme ça qu'on l'appelle dans le vestiaire, oui, qui est au bord, des crampes qui continuent à courir alors qu'il a donné mercredi, quand je vois un Safir Taider à la dernière minute, je crois que c'était à la 94e, on revient, empêcher la frappe dans la surface, Safir, revenir dans la surface, empêcher une frappe à la 93, 14e, j'ai pas les minutes en fait dans la tête, quand je vois les mecs devant qui se battent comme ça, les jeunes qui rentrent, ça commence à ressembler à quelque chose. Oui, encore une fois, je le répète, tout n'est pas rose. Mais ça commence à ressembler à quelque chose. Et c'est ce que j'aime. Parce qu'à l'arrivée, je dis bien souvent, les gens veulent, oui, ils veulent des victoires. Mais la moindre des choses, c'est que l'équipe se batte. Et c'est ce qu'on est en train de faire. Et il y a même beaucoup plus de manières aujourd'hui.
Je vous avais parlé de l'importance de l'implication des milieux pour libérer les latéraux et aussi pour la transition offensive. On a senti un certain manque de liant là, au milieu de terrain dans la transition offensive. Est-ce que vous pourriez avoir les éléments en place pour être capable de justement améliorer cette facette-là?
Non. Ou peut-être personnellement, si vous m'aviez dit ça contre Sabressa, j'aurais été d'accord. Parce que pas mal de fois, on a refusé de jouer vers l'avant, qu'on a récupéré le ballon pour se retrouver en contre et en un contre un. Aujourd'hui, on l'a fait. Aujourd'hui, on l'a fait. On a essayé de répéter et surtout, on a réussi à s'installer dans leur camp et les faire aller de gauche à droite pour pouvoir libérer nos latéraux ou des fois nos attaquants dans l'axe. Maxi a pu centrer, Romé a pu centrer, les arrières ont pu centrer. Donc voilà, il y a eu des moments, bien sûr, où on aurait pu faire un peu plus. Mais je pense qu'aujourd'hui, c'était largement mieux sur ce plan-là par rapport à ce qu'on a fait contre Sabrissa.
Merci. After this team played like less than 72 hours earlier.
Yeah, obviously we knew there was some fatigue in the bodies. Going 1-0 down after 15 minutes, you know, it's always difficult. But we never gave up. We knew what we had to do. We stick to the game plan. And I think we showed a lot of character, especially to come back, but, you know, to keep that result at the end. I felt like at the end it was the same, you know, type of game against Saprissa where we had to defend and protect your goal, and I think we did it brilliantly at the end.
First Thierry Henry game in CCL was a draw, but almost a win given the circumstances. Yep. The first game in MLS, another win. Is it good to give your head coach that positive start, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially the way we did it. You know, it wasn't all pretty the entire 90 minutes. But I think, like I said, you know, we had a game plan and we put that in the pitch pretty well. And, you know, it was, you know, we got rewarded for that. To get that first win, you know, it takes a little bit of pressure off your shoulders, especially in MLS. You know how important that is to win at home and how difficult it is to win away. But like I said before, you know, season start, that's a mentality where we want to change and we want to get results away. But to start the season with a win, obviously, because you want to
remember you said that you thought you guys wanted it more. Yep. There was a lot of fight. Maybe that was a criticism last year that fight wasn't always there. What's the difference this year?
Yeah, I agree. I agree that we fought, you know, the entire game. Like I said, you go 1-0 down and, you know, you don't give up. You keep pushing. You come back and then you protect the lead. It's massive. We did that as well, you know, against Saprissa. We were a lot under pressure and we kept to go through, the score to go through. I don't know. I just feel like the group is really solid, unified. You know, we get along with each other. Everybody get along with each other really well. No, we have a really good group, so I think that's going to be important to keep that because that's going to help us throughout the season.
Is that back from Thierry? Does he help with that?
Yeah, I mean, he's very, very good with us. You know, he knows how to separate when it's business and when it's time to have fun. And it's important to have that, you know, that balance. But yeah, I think it comes first and foremost from us, the players in the locker room.
Sam, Thierry keeps emphasizing playing direct, you know, to your wingbacks, your strikers. How are you adapting to the coach's new instructions compared to perhaps last season's deeper role?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm higher on the pitch, you know, because tactically, we change. You know, we play with three at the back or five, depends how you see it. So we have one less midfielder in the middle, so that's different. You know, I'm getting into different areas as well. That's something that I have to adapt. It'll come with time. It'll come with time, you know. But no, I'm okay with that. You know, as long as, you know, it's good for the team, and as long as we win and get good result, that's the most important for me.
Two of the three center backs were young guys. Yep. Louis had a man of the match on Wednesday, having a good game 3 days later. How did you find that?
Yeah, it's massive, you know, to have the guys stepping up like this. It's important, you know. Obviously, we lost Rudy, we lost Juka, but we had Joe, we had Louis to step up for these losses. It's massive, you know, to have guys on the bench that you can rely on. I think that proves that we're not an 11-man squad, but, you know, like 18 or 22 or how many we are.
Thank you very much.
After having a similar goal called back in Costa Rica, how does it feel to score a similar one at the Olympic Stadium?
Yeah. No, the more important, you know, is the team. The team played today very well, 100% of the game. For me, I am very happy for that.
Do you feel like the system the Impact is implementing this year maybe suits your style a bit more?
Yeah, it's different system, you know. I play in different positions. I play more in the right. I play together with Zach. I am feeling good because Zach is very fast. When I take a ball, I turn and pass to him and the cross for Kyoto and Boya.
Maxi, your first chance that was saved between the legs, what were you thinking? I mean, to all of us, it looked like it had gone in, but it was just saved, and then the rebound with that terrific goal.
Yeah, the first one, I don't know the keeper. I shoot very, very strong, you know, and the keeper. When I see the ball, I say, where's the ball? And after, no, I'm incredible, but next one, I take a score, I am very happy for that.
En los dos partidos, Maxi, que tuviste de titular, creaste, bueno, en Costa Rica hiciste uno, te lo anularon, hoy casi hace dos, quizás más. ¿Cómo cambió tu rol con Thierry? ¿Te da un rol un poco más ofensivo, te libera más ofensivamente en comparación con el año pasado?
Creo que sí, que tenemos más gente en ataque, y eso es importantísimo, porque creas situaciones y tus compañeros también te crean un espacio que antes no había, y estamos muy felices por la forma de que estamos jugando, y creo que este equipo, si sigue jugando así, va a conseguir cosas importantes.
This team is going to be looking for an offensive catalyst with Nacho gone. Feel confident you can fill that role?
Yeah, for sure. You know, when the players play in different positions, it's not too easy. I play now in the right side. It's my first time playing this position, but I am happy, you know. I take a score, I have two options more. And this is good for me.
Maxi, when you're playing this year, it seems like you guys are playing more direct. The ball is going over for someone with pace like you. The center halves are playing it in behind as well as the midfielders. How important is that for you to feast on these balls?
It's very important when the central back and the midfielder take a long ball because we are a player very fast up top, and, you know, Saka and Jorge too. It's very important when the team press 100% of the time. New England today maybe they don't play very well with the ball. This is very shocking.
Thank you, Max.
First start in MLS, Joel. How are you feeling?
I feel really good. Obviously, it's good to get the victory. You know, obviously we have some put in a full 90. I thought our first 45 were really good. Died off a little bit in the second half, and that goal, offside goal, kind of woke us up. So, you know, that's the next step for our club, and we're just going to keep doing our thing.
First decisive pass as well as a Major League Soccer player. Yeah. Can you go through the sequence of that goal with you, and am I mistaken by saying it looked like training pitch type of play?
Yeah, I mean, I think we obviously looked at some video, and we knew their, we going to the front post, and I made that run once before the assist. I got my head on it. Wanted to get on target, but the second time I just wanted to flash it across the box and hopefully someone else tips it in. So I saw Maxi put in a good ball again, and I just tried to do my best to get my head on it and put it away. So.
As a defender, when you see two center backs going down in back-to-back weeks, does it change a bit how you see yourself in this team going forward?
I mean, I think so. At the end of the day, I just try and stay ready. You know, anything like those things happen with the team. Guys go down injured. So it's my responsibility to stay ready, take advantage of my opportunity when it comes, and obviously I know, you know, losing Yuka and Rudy are, you know, big misses for us, but you know, now I have the opportunity to step up and do the job, and if the coaching staff keeps trusting in me, then I'll keep you know, doing my thing. So I think, yeah, like I said, I'm just kind of a player that stays ready and takes my opportunity when it comes.
How do you like the matchup with Olympia in the Champions League? Obviously, you avoid the MLS champions. Is it a good matchup for you guys?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, we had some practice going to Saprissa there and playing in front of that hostile environment. So it'll be another one of those in Olympia. And, you know, at the end of the day, Seattle or Olympia, we're feeling good as a club right now. And we're going to take it game by game and day by day.
Short turnaround between the Dallas game and that game. How do you manage through that so early in the season?
I think it's just recovery. You know, you hear our, you know, therapists and physios yelling at us to do therapy and recovery, and I think that's the main thing. You know, this game we're going to enjoy for tonight, and then tomorrow we're back at it and back to work and recovering and keeping our bodies fresh and healthy.
Joel, you're coming off two good results in Champions League, and you come from there, back from behind your first MLS game. Where's the group's confidence at right now, and how are you guys feeling heading into the next week?
I think it's high. You know, obviously so early, only one game in, so I got a lot of work to do. But you know, it's a good feeling to get off to a good start in front of our home fans, and I think we're rolling the way for four of our next games. So you know, it's a good confidence boost for our club, and we're going to just take that for the next game.
How are you liking this defensive formation in the past two games?
Yeah, I really like it. It gives us security, but it also gives us a lot of bodies moving forward. And you know, we're trying to keep possession in the opponent's half, and you know, that formation allows us to do that. So. You know, obviously we're going to have to change some tactics depending on who we play and expose our weaknesses, but at the end of the day, it's we felt good today. Our first 45 was good, and we're just going to keep continuing it.
About the formation, sorry, Katrina. About the formation, Thierry kept the formation despite the injuries. Yeah. Is that a good vote of confidence on your side, and then Louis, that, you know, young players coming in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's our job to kind of adapt to his formation, but obviously we talk about it. We talk about it as a team, and what's working and what's not working, and we kind of make adjustments, you know, sometimes even in game, but during the week we have time to train on it and to make it into a habit. So it's good right now, and we're heading in the right direction.
Joel, it's a big win, and obviously it takes time, but what was the problem with set pieces today? Is it just zonal marking, or
That's a good question. You know, we're going to talk about that as a team. I think it's more the desire than anything. You know, we got to want to keep the ball in the back of the net. Again, last year, obviously I wasn't here, but apparently we got a lot of goals on set pieces, and we want to stop that as soon as possible. I think it's more desire more than anything, just want to keep the ball in the back of the net.
Last question.
It's easy to talk about desire, and Thierry mentioned it as well. How do you, you know, turn that from words into action?
I think it's all mentality. Yeah, you know, you can say it all you want, but until we put it in the action on the field, it doesn't mean anything. But we want to, you know, put it into something on the pitch. I think it's a mentality. It's a mentality within the group, a desire, not wanting to concede goals that way. Especially, you know, when it's not a good way to concede goals. Obviously, you don't want to concede goals at all, but especially on set pieces, it's you know, you want to keep that from happening. But again, it's a desire, it's a mentality, you want to keep the ball in the net.
And we're back. Thank you to Thierry Henry, Samuel Piet, and Joel Waterman for their time today after the 2-1 victory of the Montreal Impact versus the New England Revolution. Here's a look at the statistics for tonight's game. Once again, there was 21,006 people at the Olympic Stadium tonight. 2 goals for Montreal, 1 for New England. 12 shots for Montreal total, with 16 by New England. And for Montreal, there was only 3 shots on target, with 6 for New England. Now, hopefully, Clément Diop didn't pick up any injuries. And if he did, there's Evan Bush available to goal as well. He was getting warmed up when Diop had a little knock late in the game, when Mancienne actually ran into him when the goal was called off. What I think is fascinating is shots from inside the box, 9. 9 shots from inside the box from Montreal, and only 1 goal. Urruti could have scored 3 goals tonight. You heard Thierry Henry say it. Urruti could and should maybe have scored 3 goals tonight. He scored 1. Montreal still got the victory, so that's not a problem. But that expected goal column in your statistics needs to be important this year. It's not going to be an easy year, and so far defensively Montreal has overplayed at least the expectations that the pundits did have on Montreal. Now the question is to put this in time, you got 33 more games in Major League Soccer, and you'll be able to assess the defensive performance with the amount of goals conceded, but also the amount of points and results gathered by Montreal. And if Montreal is losing games that they should win, it's going to cost them a lot. The margin of error for Montreal will be very slim this year. Of course, in the Eastern Conference, I famously predicted a sixth position for the Impact, which means a playoff game at least. But in the Eastern Conference, you got Orlando, you got Chicago, and you got, of course, Miami, an expansion team, and there's Cincinnati. Cincinnati, don't get me started on Cincinnati. You want to feel good about your team? Look what's happening in Cincinnati. It's unfortunate. We hope that former assistant coach of the Montreal Impact and now interim manager once again of FC Cincinnati, Yohan Demme, can do better than his predecessors with FC Cincinnati. But you have the opportunity in the Eastern Conference to play twice against Orlando, twice against Chicago, twice against Cincinnati, and twice against Miami. It's a lot of points. And if you win games like tonight, where you could have just draw, that could have been a draw tonight, and according to Teal Bunbury, well, the Montreal Impact wanted it more tonight. And that, coming from an opposing player, is a good omen. So far, the effort is not a problem for the Impact, which it rarely is. And I always have a problem with journalists saying, oh, they were lacking the effort. They didn't want enough. Really? Is that really the case? They really just didn't want it that bad? Yeah. Yeah, go run a bit and see what it is. It's not that. I think it's more also that Montreal are growing in confidence. It was a third game. Yes, players like Zachary Broguillard did have cramps late in the game, but his best performance of the year for Zachary Broguillard, which leads me to his comments post-game. I had a chance to talk to him. It was only in French, so here's what he mentioned. I literally asked him, a surface like this, it was your first two games here you played last Wednesday and tonight, on a surface this hard, with a player of your qualities, and especially with your talent, your speed, does this help you? Does a surface like the Olympic Stadium surface help you? And it's an interesting response. He mentioned it does and it doesn't. And he mentioned the French term that are different. Different. You walk differently, different stance. So you have a different stance, a different position of standing and the appui in French. So his stance running is different. Once you're going, once you're running, once you're full clip, as we say, it's easier to maintain that speed, he mentioned. So once you start running, once you go on your right side, you go the flank, you have the ball, you start running, it's easier to maintain that speed, according to Zachary Broguillard. But when you have to start and stop, and like he mentioned, as a defender, you have to start and stop a lot, you feel the impact, you feel the difference. And I thought that was a really interesting comment by Zachary Broguillard. And when you run on this type of surface, yes, your stance is going to be different. It will, the speed, you'll maintain the speed, but to reach the speed might be a bit more taxing than you're used to. And he was talking about the cramps he was getting later into the game. Now, Montreal Impact are playing their second game of the regular season against FC Dallas. Next week in Dallas, they're going to play their first away game this year after 3 points at home. We'll see what happens now. There's a couple of days off for the Montreal Impact. Tomorrow's a day off for the club. Monday, it's still up in the air. This is going to be training Monday or not. We'll have more next week for sure. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Off the Woodworks Post Game Show. I'm Kevin Larmer. You can always follow me on Twitter at Kev Larmer. You can follow this show at Off the Woodworks with an X. And of course, everything that we do is available on our website at sportspodcastingnetwork.com. We'll be live in studio on March 7th, and we'll be right back here at the Olympic Stadium on March 10th for the first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League quarterfinals between the Montreal Impact and City Olympia from Tegucigalpa. But they're going to play in San Pedro Sula, one of the stadiums that I despise the most in this region. Why go back to 2012, 2013? A certain defeat of the Canadian men's national team versus Honduras at San Pedro Sula, 8-1. The only positive moment in that game was Ian Hume scoring on his free kick. Ian, if you're listening, you were the bright light on a very dark day. We still appreciate it and still remember it to this day. But if you don't, Montreal is going to play at San Pedro Sula, the same stadium that they Canadian men's national team lost 8-1-2 in qualifying to go to the Hex just before the 2014 World Cup in Brazil, which Canada did not qualify for. No, we haven't qualified for a World Cup since 1986. Will 2026 be the year? Yeah, because we're hosting the damn thing. It's going to be here. So we're going to be in the World Cup in 2026. 2022, that's a question. And Zachary Broguillard might have a lot to say if Canada will be in 2022. But more on that later, of course, on the Sports Podcast Network. And as always, until next time, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.